Good morning, everyone. This is a great day, although it's rainy, but we need that rain to have things green for sure, and we need light. Today, I'd like to share a little bit of what's on my heart about being children of light, vessels of mercy. 1 Thessalonians 5, 5 through 11 is the passage I want to read, and then I want to share some thoughts and some other verses. We'll start there. 1 Thessalonians 5, 5 through 11. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are the day of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet to hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. There's so many passages in the Bible that are talking to us about our condition after we're born again. A lot of verses are misunderstood in that we can obtain salvation. No, we can't obtain salvation. God freely gives that to the vessels of mercy and to his children of light. At some point in our life, we're born again. But before that, we're dark. We're helpless and without hope. I was thinking this morning about what would happen if we did not follow our son. Just didn't want to do it. And it's amazing to me that our son, if I were to picture this being the center of our galaxy we call Milky Way, which is a family of stars and a family of planets and all, and we're together as a unit, and we're rotating. And I've mentioned this in previous openings, and I just want to mention it again, just as a way of making a point. We're not in a static situation. We're in a very dynamic, moving, very fast. You talk about speeds that are just beyond imagination. Our galaxy our sun is rotating around our galaxy at 143 miles per second. So if I were to walk around this podium and go down and then go around and up and then back to here, scientists say that would be almost 250 million years for a galactic year. Well, we haven't even been around that long, so we haven't moved very far at all. But yet we're moving at 143 miles per second. And then the Earth is going around the sun at 18.6 miles per second. So again, if I'm walking around in 250 million years and I'm going around the sun as I'm coming and going up and down through the galactic plane, I'm traveling at 18.6 miles per second. Then the Earth rotates at 1,000 miles per hour on its axis at 23.5 degrees of tilt, which gives our seasons. And we have a sun, and an Earth is our family that pictures us. And we have a dark side and a light side, and we're revolving. The question is, where are we? Are we on our light side, or are we on our dark side? Are we walking as children of light or children of darkness? I've often given the example, and I've seen it flying across the Earth all the way to India, that if you go westbound, you're traveling with the sun. And if you could go 1,000 miles per hour, you would be traveling with the sun and always in the day. But if I start out at night going same direction westbound at 1,000 miles per hour, I'd be 24 hours in darkness. Many of us live our lives in periods of light and darkness. And back to that example of movement, our whole galaxy is moving outward away from a perceived center, which we don't know where it is, at 361 miles per second. So if I could picture that again, I'm going around this podium, which is the center of the galaxy, and I'm going rotating around the sun and rotating on my axis, and the whole podium is moving 361 miles per second. Can anybody fathom that? We can't. We don't even feel it. But yet the presence of God keeps us together and keeps us from flying off into space. And then if we were to go out there in space, we would approach minus our absolute zero of minus 457.7 degrees Fahrenheit, where electrons and atoms don't even move. And guess what happens then? No work. Zero. Nothing can be done. Brothers and sisters, that's what I'm asking. Do we really want to go off and leave our sun? Do we want to be in darkness? Do we want to be cold? Then we need to follow our sun. Physically speaking, we don't have a choice. Gravitational attraction keeps us within the bounds of gravitational well of our Earth to the sun relationship, and we have the moon also controlling the stability of our rotation such that we're not wobbling like a top, and we have stability. What is that picture? The law. The law is given for stability. But we're not supposed to worship the law, because the law doesn't give us life. The sun gives us life, and we need to choose to be manifestations of his light as children of light and not of darkness by remaining close to him on our light side. We only have one body, but that body has an old nature and a new nature. One day our old nature will cease to exist, a manifestation when we die physically, and our new nature, created in the same righteousness and holiness as Jesus Christ, will go to heaven awaiting the second coming and the redemption and the resurrection of the body. So, praise God, we have two-thirds of us that pretty good. Old nature needs to get out of the way. This morning, I would hope that our old nature takes a sleep and be crucified, so that we could rejoice as children of life and be a family together and walk in the city in Revelation 21:22 that is available. 1,500 mile cube that city is, and it's available to all of God's children. And that means if you're inside the city, there's one light, Jesus Christ in the center, and it is no religious differences. There's no denominations. We're a family together. There is, out of every race, kindred, and tongue, the possibility that we could worship in spirit and truth in that kingdom. But we don't want to, in our old nature, doesn't want to follow the sun. To me, it makes no sense. It's almost like a death wish that we would take drugs or destroy our body with alcohol and do all these things with bad behavior and end our life. This is the only time we have to glorify God. When we're in heaven, we won't have an old nature to ask to be crucified. It'll be gone. So, praise God, a part of us is going to be destroyed, eliminated, however you want to say it. It's not going to eternal damnation. It's going to be gone. Jesus Christ paid the price for that old nature. And he paid the price. He owns our body. And we're to glorify it, glorify God in this body. John 8:12 says, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." This is not talking about trying to get eternal life. You're already a child of God. The choice is, where are you on your earth? Are you on your light side or dark side? And we know that we can't go 1,000 miles per hour spiritually. So guess what? We go through periods of darkness. We go through periods of light. We go through seasons of winter, fall, spring, summer. It's like the whole earth is teaching us, or the cosmos and astronomy is teaching us spiritual principles about our condition. But those are conditions that are true about children of light and children of mercy. Children of darkness and vessels of wrath, it's spoken of in Romans 9, they don't even have these concerns. They, and it's written that they're brute beasts, fitted for destruction. What does that mean? That we are the recipients of God's salvation as His children, chosen before the world began. Okay? It was their choice, the Father, the Word, who would later be revealed in time as manifested in the flesh, and the Spirit of God made a choice. We weren't there. They wanted a family, then we're here. As born-again children, now we have a choice to walk as our former life prior to being regenerated in darkness, or as children of light. So that's how we obtain salvation. It's a time salvation. It's every day, staying out of the pig pens of life. But the Father let the prodigal go to the pig pen. And He also let the prodigal that stayed home be in his misery about his brother. So we got two prodigals. So the question is, are we self-righteous? Are we immoral? Do we do things that are of darkness? Praise God, the one that was in the pig pen after he exhausted all of his resources and was eating food like the hogs were, he came to his right mind and he went home. I guess his old nature was out of ideas and out of money. And, okay, I'm done. And the new nature, who was always in that situation, just as if God's children were in Babylon and in captivity, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, all these children of God didn't deserve to be there. They were doing right. But they had to go in captivity. And God used them to convert Nebuchadnezzar and other kings. Isn't it amazing that God can even, in the midst of captivity, and right now as our nation is in captivity, our only hope is in Christ. It's not in politics. It's not in a new president. Then it may get really dark here. I believe before the Lord comes back again, 400 years before he came back, the prophets stopped being revealed, and it became spiritually dark. And it says the moon was turned to blood. I think that day that he was crucified, the law was turned to blood. Jesus Christ had to fulfill the law like the ram in the thicket with Abraham and Isaac. He had to fulfill that law so that we might be delivered. And he was crucified. But what man did to Christ didn't do anything. Nothing. They could not kill him. I don't care what they did to him. And it says that he wouldn't have a broken bone. So I think the Spirit of God was right there keeping him from having any broken bones. And he kept him till at 12 o'clock, the sixth hour through the ninth hour, he was made to be sin, who knew no sin. He was made the darkness that we are. We were in him. We were dead in him. And we didn't suffer. Just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego didn't suffer in the fiery furnace. But there was one like unto the Son of God in that furnace. Jesus Christ is the one that delivered us at 12 to 3. Just like Leviticus 16 says, there's two goats that were, one was sacrificed and his blood, the blood was taken in the middle of the day, in the middle of its life, and placed on the mercy seat. That goat died. Guess what? A dead lamb is a goat. Jesus Christ was made a goat. People don't like to hear that. Our old nature is a goat nature. Okay? He was made what we are for 3 hours. He was in that darkness such that he could not escape. And he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? No Holy Spirit inside of him, made to be sin, suffering as the scapegoat, the second goat, was led away into the wilderness of sin. And just like Isaiah 53 says, he was bruised, he was smitten of his Father. This was between the Father and the Son. Our salvation was bought between the Father and Son. It didn't have anything to do with us. We're the recipients of what was chosen before the foundations of the world. And in time, we have the wonderful opportunity to be touched by the Spirit of God and conceived. None of us conceived ourselves physically. We weren't there. Part of us was in our mother, part of us in our father, but we didn't participate. So therefore, our greatest blessings in life come with our non-participation. We have life physically from out of Adam's family, and we have life spiritually through our elder brother and kinsman redeemer, Jesus Christ. So the question is, and even in John 3, which is often quoted as being a way to obtain salvation eternally, it's not about that. It's about time salvation. It says, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." And I want you to concentrate on the Son of Man, because that's your brother. We're not brothers with the Son of God. We're brothers with the Son of Man. Our representative in heaven today is Jesus Christ, the Son of Man. He's the seed of woman, just as in Genesis 3:15 it said the seed of the woman would bruise the head of Satan. How did that happen in those 3 hours? He was made the same nature as Satan in terms of our nature and his nature are the same. And he had to pay the price of us being renegades and wanting to take off away from the Son, or however you want to picture it. We were totally unable, incapable of saving ourselves. And he was made what we are during those 3 hours. And when it pleased God the Father that the sacrifice of sin had been made, he resurrected him. So, dead, he was raised by God at 3 p.m. Aren't you raised out of your darkness whenever your regeneration is? So that pictures your regeneration. He was then laid his body down. No man took his life. He lived through that 3 hours of damnation with a lake of fire coming to him. And then, after the resurrection occurred of God raising his Son from that death, then he said, "It is finished," when the light was back. But for those 3 hours, and it says in the Bible there was darkness over the whole earth, I believe the Lord can make darkness over the whole universe. He could take out every star for 3 hours. Why? Because an innocent man was made what he wasn't, made to be sin, who knew no sin. And it just breaks my heart that we were in him, but we really can't know what he experienced. We have a glimpse, but unless we accept, and I would say this, if we see our own depravity, then we see what he went through. If we say there's nothing wrong with me, then why do we need salvation? What did he do but pay for our depravity, pay for our darkness? So in order to glimpse into that, I think we need to understand our depravity as in the old nature and our desire to remain on our dark side of the earth a lot of the day. Our body's innocent. Don't ever forget that the body doesn't sin. It's the old nature that uses the body to sin. So therefore, the body can be redeemed. The body can be resurrected. We should take better care of our bodies. This is a temple. This is a place, and God has placed in us, made us priests and kings inside so that we can worship him. And our greatest opportunity to do that is right now. I want to go to heaven. I really do. And I don't know when it's going to be, but I'm getting more and more seeing that we have an opportunity to have a little piece of heaven right now. And forget about the politics of the day. Just have a peace in your heart with your Savior and brother, Jesus Christ. I continue, "That whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world," and we know that's the world of his chosen people, "that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." This life, we should not perish. It's not talking about going to eternal damnation. It's talking about not having a life lived for God now. We perish. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. There again, that's the time salvation that's under consideration. Then he goes on to the light analogy. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world. And men love darkness rather than light. When it says men love darkness, our old nature loves that darkness. Our new nature cannot sin. I don't care who you witness to. I don't care if they're Buddhist, Hindu, Muslim, whatever. Their new nature inside cannot reject the truth. Amen. Cannot. Therefore, you are 100% effective in sharing the Word of God with them in spirit and truth when you do. And we don't have to worry about who hears or who doesn't. That's the miracle of the Spirit of God. But our job is to be witnesses, not lawyers, to share that truth. So, from one cell baby to 969 years old Methuselah, we can talk to anyone. It's kind of hard to talk to someone in the womb, but the Spirit of God can. The Spirit of God can save a one cell baby and give that baby a body one day. He knows our DNA. Isn't it amazing how science has come up with all these physical discoveries? There's a spiritual side of the house too. The Lord knows our spiritual DNA. He knows who we are. And no matter what happens to this body, he knows who we are. And he knows us even before the foundation of the world. Continuing, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is a condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth the evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds might be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Finally, I want to share a little bit about vessels. In Romans 9, 21 through 24, not only we are children of light, but we're vessels of mercy. God has poured his Spirit in us, and we have been given mercy, and it's also our privilege to extend mercy to others. Hath not the potter power over the clay? Paul speaking here and comparing Esau and Jacob. Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. And I don't want to say that, in Paul, I love the way he says, have you not found fault with God? He's a lawyer saying, he asks a question, and then our old nature starts, wait a minute, that's not fair. So he already thinks for us, that he knows what we're thinking in our old nature. And the verse goes on, hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? What if God, willing to show his wrath and make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory, even us whom he hath called, not of the Jews, but also of the Gentiles? So think of a vessel as something the Spirit is something to pour into, and God's mercy and grace is poured into us, and it's our desire to let it out and share it, and to be vessels of light and vessels of mercy and children of light. That is our purpose. And then finally, in 2 Corinthians 5, 1 through 9, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed we shall not be found naked, for we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened. Don't you ever feel that way, that you're burdened right now because there's always a struggle going on? That our new nature is subject to the vanity of the old nature. It's like that Esau and Jacob's in us, the Ishmael and Isaac, the Cain and Abel. It's like, why did God give all those stories if it weren't for our edification, to show us that we have a fight? But we can't fight it. Christ can. He did, and he will. So our job is to trust him to take our battles. I'm amazed, even all the war plans. I've flown in combat, and I've seen what's being shot at looks like. It's scary. It's not fun. You think you're going to die any second. And I'm thinking, wow, you look at all those battle plans where God did the took the victory, you know, for Joshua and Jericho or Gideon with the Midianites. All they had to do is trust the battle plan of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them. But if they would have tried to do it on their own, they would have lost like they did at Ai and other situations. So we need to keep that in mind. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing this, or knowing that, whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. Finally, 1 Peter 2:9-10. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. That's what I'm done trying to say. He's called us out of darkness. We didn't call ourselves out of darkness. He did. Which is time past, we're not a people, but now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. May we pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, I love you very much. I just hurt so much inside when I try to go off into darkness and try to stay on the dark side of my earth and try to go my own way. And Father, it's fruitless. It won't bear anything but disaster and heartache. So help me, Lord, to trust you more, and help us to trust you more as a people, as a church, a peculiar people, a royal priesthood. Help us as a church to edify each other, build each other up, and help us to rejoice one day as you come, Father, to take us home. This is a temporary existence. This is a physical domain. You're going to call us to the spiritual domain where you're at. I don't really know, Lord, what's going to be out there, but it says we'll be satisfied, and I thank you for that. I don't understand where we're going other than the fact I'm happy and blessed to follow the Son like we are on this earth. And help us, Lord, to keep that in mind, that we are kept in you and through you, and that your sacrifice for us is what bought and paid our price, that we deserve an eternal damnation, but you took that in your own body, mind, and soul, and spirit, and we're thankful for that. Please continue to help this nation, Father. I pray again that we will have justice and truth be revealed, Lord, that we will be delivered, Father, from Nebuchadnezzar, so to speak, Father, but whether in life or death, we will be delivered from this world system, and we thank you for that. Thank you for all your love and blessings. Please bless Brother Mari as he comes before us, and please bless those that need a touch of grace and healing. In Christ's name we do pray, amen.